We are talking to author Drury Sherrod, who's written The Jury Crisis, What's Wrong with Trials and How We Can Save Them. Good morning, Drury. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Nancy.
Well, I found this book really fascinating because I hadn't thought about all this stuff. First of all, the thing that really struck me was how we intuitively are storytellers. And so it's very hard for us to keep an open mind about the person and what they're being accused of. We want to create the backstory.
That's so right, and thank you for noticing that and picking up on it. There's a lot of really good psychological research which shows that when jurors hear information in a trial, they immediately begin telling stories. They immediately begin fill in and inferring motives and intent that were never mentioned in court. And it turns out that during deliberations, almost half of what's discussed was never presented as evidence. It's just information drawn from jurors' own lives. This is called stored scripts, so story scripts from their own life that more or less match what's going on in the case. They draw their stored script and make a decision before they've even heard the evidence.
Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the things you mentioned was that after the verdict, you've given, or people have been given, a checklist of things that influence their decision, and they'll check off things that were never even said in the trial.
I think it's so interesting that they will, if they're given that long checklist, say 100 items, some items are true, they were mentioned in trial, some items are false. People invariably recall the information that supports their side, their story, whether or not it was even presented. So they misrecall facts that were never presented, and they fail to recall facts that were presented, but which didn't match their story.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your history as a consultant?
Well, I'm a social psychologist, and I taught psychology for a number of years and then became a jury consultant. And what jury consultants do is we are hired to stage mock trials and to anticipate the likely outcome of a real trial. So we will go to the location where the actual trial will be held, recruit people who match the jury pool. They sit through 2 or 3 day mini trials. They fill out several hundred item questionnaires. So that by the time the trials are over, we know the kind of people that will favor each side. We know how to identify them. We know what sort of opening statements are most persuasive. We know how they should behave during deliberations. And then we often conduct post-trial jury interviews where we call up jurors and speak to them for a couple of hours on the phone and find out what exactly led to their decision. And what we often find out is most of the information was way above jurors' heads, and they just sort of made up a little story to figure out what happened so they could go home.
And you, in the book, you mentioned this because some of these trials go on and on and on, and so much information is brought in, it's just almost impossible for jurors to keep track of it all.
Well, for example, the El Chapo trial, the Mexican drug lord. This is the second week of deliberations. The jurors are beginning this morning. The trial was 3 months of information. Then the judge gave 3 hours of instructions. The jurors were given an 8-page verdict form with 10 counts and 27 subcounts, and they had to answer 54 yes or no questions on these various counts. And the fact that they've already been out deliberating a week is suggesting to some experts and commentators that they're lost in all the information, don't know what to do exactly. And the prosecutors may have made an error by dumping so much information on them and having them have to decide so many counts. So this lurid, seemingly obvious case that everybody has followed about these horrible things that have been done, some commentators are saying it looks like it may go to acquittal.
Wow. Well, and you mentioned a couple of times when the jury has gotten deadlocked, and so it's a mistrial because the same kind of thing. There's just so much, and they may keep asking the judge to clarify things, and then they finally just throw up their hands and say, can't do it.
Right. The first Bill Cosby trial. There were 6 days of information and testimony, evidence. Then the jury deliberated for longer than they spent listening to the evidence. They deliberated for 54 hours. And one of the jurors who was interviewed said they spent a whole day debating the meaning of the word reckless. It was whether or not it was reckless for a woman to have visited Bill Cosby in his home and hotel room. And they sent a question to the judge, please define reckless.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, Drury, can you tell us about when you're talking about the jury consulting, you know, I watched the TV show Bull, so that really happens.
Yes. Well, Bull is a hyped up, over elaborated, super over elaborated version of what we do. So, for example, when we develop questions to ask during voir dire, which is when jurors show up and they're questioned to see if they have any biases, you know, we do that with by recruiting a sample of jurors in advance and having them fill out very long questionnaires and identifying what questions predict verdict for what types of people. Because different questions predict verdict, for example, for an older, rich, white guy versus a younger, poor, minority woman, to take two extremes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in Bull, it's all, you know, in a computer program, and immediately it shows on multiple screens, and Bull looks at one juror and says, I identify with her, I understand what she's thinking, let's take her. It's not quite that way.
Okay. Well, that makes it good TV, I guess. So one of the things, too, there are so few jury trials now. Why is that happening?
Well, let me give you some numbers. It's staggering. There is less than 1%, less than 0.5% of all the civil trials filed in a year ever reach a jury. Less than 0.5% of all the trials. In criminal trials, it's only slightly more. About 1% of all the criminal trials filed ever reach a jury. Because people don't trust juries. In criminal trials, the accused would rather plea bargain to confess to a lower crime in order to get a reduced sentence. In civil trials, the litigants would rather settle than take the chances on a jury verdict. Basically, juries are just seen as runaway jurors, hung jurors, lazy, ignorant, incompetent. People have pretty bad views of jurors out there. But the reason is, I think, as you brought up earlier in the book, the human brain hasn't kept up with the court system. The court system dumps so much information, so many obtuse judges' instructions, that the human brain basically can't handle it. So given this phenomenon that people distrust jurors, the question is, whose fault is it? Is it jurors' fault for being lazy, incompetent, ignorant, or is it the fault of lawyers and judges and law schools and the court system for expecting more of the brain than it's capable of?
Hmm. I have a question. So if I go out and do a crime, would it be better for me to go to a jury? Do juries tend to find you innocent or guilty, or, you know?
That's a tough question, David. He's just saying that people tend not to trust the jury, so you're asking him, should I trust the jury?
Right. I guess.
I think it depends on what kind of, you know, plea bargain deal you're given. If it looks pretty good and it's actually going to be a many fewer years than, say, an average jury might have awarded in the past for a similar crime, you know, take the plea bargain.
Mm-hmm. But if you're innocent, you might feel that you have a better chance of that getting recognized if you've got the jury out there.
I guess. I don't know.
That's true.
So, jury, over the 30 years you did this, what it feels like to me is that society is getting more and more black and white, less and less willing to have discussions about differing points of view, that it's my way or the highway so often. Am I correct in seeing that that's gotten more true over the last 30 years?
Well, clearly that's the case in so many of these hung juries. Although, on the other hand, I've run so many mock juries where we have observed juries deliberating through one-way mirrors or on closed-circuit TV. And what's often encouraging is there's basic Jeffersonian democracy happening in front of our eyes. The coalitions of blacks and whites on one side will debate the coalition of blacks and whites on the other side. So it's not a case of a racial dispute so that all the blacks and all the whites are opposing each other. People really learn how to talk together and trust each other. And so I think that's one of the reasons why the dearth of the death of the jury is so disturbing, that we lose these opportunities to practice democracy at its most basic level.
Mm-hmm. You give an example in the book of a person who was drank and then pulled over and went to sleep in the car, got arrested for drunk driving, and on the jury, one person whose son was an alcoholic was saying, oh, absolutely, drunk driving, guilty, and then somebody else said, no, she did the right thing. She pulled over and went to sleep instead of driving. And that juror was more persuasive, so was able to bring people around to his point of view that she did the safe thing.
Yeah, I think that example happened in Tsutsuke. So,
oh, that's right. That's probably why. why it stuck out to me so much.
One other interesting example there. The story the jurors told came from their own experience. The point we made earlier about how people draw from their stored scripts, their life experiences, to make up a story or tell a story. So the woman whose son was an alcoholic had a story about how dangerous this was and how this person should be kept off the road. Whereas the man who was the professor and went to some lots of fancy parties and had a lot of wine said he knew to give his wife the keys to the car to go home. So their interpretation of what the likely crime had been and what should be done really hinged on their own personal life experiences and who could be more persuasive. And it turns out that this the professor in that case was a very largely charismatic person against a local citizen who was probably less charismatic because she wasn't used to lecturing and teaching for 40 years.
Mm-hmm. So your book is called The Jury Crisis, What's Wrong with Trials and How We Can Save Them. What is wrong with trials? This filling in the story, is it also people getting out of jury duty?
The fact that there are very few trials left, that jurors don't know how to handle information. That what we've been talking about is what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The solution is hard. You know, the solution is basically for lawyers and judges to begin thinking like jurors instead of thinking like law professors. So to to see that a jury trial is actually a contest of stories, not to do away with evidence, but to whenever possible to organize the evidence into a story. So instead of, a 100-item yellow page with little boxes that you check off, which is what many attorneys do during their opening statements, to tell it as a story with themes, with a beginning, middle, and end, with a moral focus, in a way that organizes the evidence. So that if what a jury has to recall when they sit down to deliberate is the basic elements of the story, and then they will recall the evidence that they heard about, which fits that story. So essentially, the story sets up a system of mental file folders in jurors' heads that facilitates their information processing.
And that could then become...
And then,
I was going to say, which lawyers...
I was going to point out, the example to tell stories, both at pre-voir dire when you're selecting a jury, in your opening statement and the closing arguments, and when you're giving jurors some hints about how to deliberate.
Oh. What kind of hints?
Most jurors don't know anything about deliberations. In fact, in one of these hung trials also, the jurors sent a note to the judge and said, we don't understand what our job is. What does it mean to deliberate?
Okay.
So usually what lawyers will do is go over the law and tell jurors what they have to find out. The law says you have to find this and this and this in order to conclude this.
Mm-hmm.
Probably what would matter more to jurors is to say, you've heard this story, you've heard this evidence, you say all the evidence fits the story. Think about what facts are consistent with your story and what aren't.
And make your mind up from there.
Yes.
So, for example, you're talking about El Chapo trial, when there are so many different things he's being accused of. Would you suggest separate trials for different things or just picking the most important ones?
I think picking the most important. In fact, I think there's... I just read an article this morning which said that... The state, the prosecutor may have made a mistake by dumping so many charges on the jury and making them decide so many charges. So mm-hmm. It dilutes the main charges.
Right.
And the thing happened in a high-profile civil trial just a few years ago. It was a big New York law firm that was coming apart, and several of the major partners have been accused of stealing money. Anyway, that became such a long trial, the jurors also had to decide that they couldn't. They became in this trial.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to imagine tying up months and months of your life for a trial.
Well, it is. And also another way to make trials better is to improve who gets selected. You know, many people just ignore a jury summons. Well, there are studies on the rich and the poor are less likely to be represented in a jury panel. Poor people move too often, change their addresses too often, have minimum wage jobs so they can't afford to be on a jury trial. Rich people just decide, I don't need to worry about this, and they throw it away. And some states, though, have just not showing up for a jury summons in with a traffic violation. So if you're pulled over for a traffic violation and the police look at their computer, they find that, you didn't show up for 3 jury summons. We can put you in jail.
Wow. So when you talk about how we can save the jury trials, a lot of that falls on the lawyers.
what it does. typically, lawyers are trained to respect evidence, not to respect storytelling. And yet, it's pretty clear from so much research that stories trump statistics, that what's persuasive to jurors are not the statistics and not the the complicated evidence, but the clear story that can be told. Mm-hmm. So over and over, my resolution is, whatever the aspect of the trial or the accusations are, is to create a story that jurors are going to connect with, that jurors can recall, that helps jurors understand the evidence and make a decision.
Interesting. Drury Sherrod, what else would you like to share with us about your book?
I think one of the most interesting things there in the book are lots of examples of post-trial jury interviews where we called up people after a real verdict. You know, there's very few information about what jurors talk about during deliberations. This is the sacrosanct behind the door when jurors deliberate. There's no transcription. Seldom are jurors interviewed. And yet in our work, we're often hired to interview jurors. And you find that in complicated cases, it was one pharmaceutical drug case where a man said, you know, all the science went over my head. He said, I'm not Einstein. I'm as blue collar as you can get. I had no idea what that science was about. So the jury just made up a simple story to arrive at a verdict, and they basically ignored probably 2 weeks of scientific testimony that the lawyers thought was most valuable.
Right. Interesting. Okay, well, your book is available on Amazon, The Jury Crisis, What's Wrong with Trials and How We Can Save Them. Are you doing any touring and lecturing?
I am doing some lecturing and not touring, but I've done some interviews. And you've been the most astute interviewer so far, and you've read the book most closely. So I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate you sending it. Thank you so much for coming on KRSN with us and sharing.
Sure.
Bye-bye.
Enjoy talking. Bye.